Live and Lansing with Michael Cohen. This is More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
It is 6:33. I'm Michael Cohen. You're listening to 1320 WILS here in Lansing. Well, look up in the sky. It's a bird. It's a plane. No, it's a drone, and it may soon be flying over your neighborhood. Wall Street Journal reporter Andy Pastor writes about it and the future of drone use here in the U.S. You can find his article at WSJ.com. Andy joins me now to talk about what we can look forward to. Andy, thanks for joining us this evening.
Certainly.
I'm guessing they're not going to include any kind of weaponry on these drones if they are coming to the U.S., right?
Well, these are civilian drones for research uses, for law enforcement uses, and no, there aren't expected to be any weapons on them. And your listener should know that proponents like to call them, instead of drones, I like to call them remotely piloted vehicles, which gives everybody a sense that actually somebody may be in control of these vehicles, even though they're not on the aircraft itself. But this is a very interesting and fast-moving area that poses all sorts of regulatory and safety and privacy issues.
Well, are there laws in place right now? I mean, because we certainly see people flying these remote-controlled helicopters, you know, in a park maybe, but are there laws that keep law enforcement from having anything like this?
The situation has been that the Federal Aviation Administration, which controls the nation's airspace, has been very reluctant and cautious, and many people think rightly so, to allow unmanned vehicles or remotely piloted vehicles into the airspace. So the situation has been that there's been lots of talk about using them in the U.S., but relatively few of them have actually been used, and only in very limited ways and only in very limited airspace. But that may change. Congress passed a bill earlier this year which essentially said by 2015 the FAA must figure out a way to integrate these remotely piloted vehicles into the airspace. And so there's a lot of work underway. The FAA released through an FOI, Freedom of Information Act request by the Electronic Frontier Federation, the FAA acknowledged that it had approved at least 50 different limited permits for using
Do we know how they're going to be used? I mean, was there going to be some kind of warrant required to follow somebody?
Well, I think that's one of the big questions. Law enforcement wants to use them, but so do firefighters, agricultural interests, even for climate change. So there are a lot of perspective uses. It's not at all clear how the privacy issues will be resolved. Congress is now wrestling with it. The FAA is trying to resolve some of those issues. But I'd say at this point, it's not clear what kind of restrictions or controls there will be on them. And some of them, of course, can see very clearly down to license plates and into homes and so on.
I mean, are these things so quiet that you would not be aware that a drone was floating outside your window?
Well, that's certainly true. They vary in size. Some of them can be as big as an airplane and as a jetliner, and others can be very, very small and very quiet. So I think there's every expectation that people wouldn't know that they would be hovering above them or tracking them. They've already been used, or requests have been made to be used in large metropolitan police departments like Miami, Seattle, Houston, also a bunch of small cities, lots of universities. But this is just the beginning of the struggle to figure out how they can be integrated into the U.S. airspace.
I'm talking to Andy Pastor. He's a Wall Street Journal reporter. You can find his article on the future of drone use here in the U.S. at WSJ.com. So, I mean, we see camera use in Europe, certainly in England, you know, in public places. Nowadays, there are camera phones everywhere. The public communicates on Facebook, putting themselves out there. Do you think the public is less concerned about privacy now and maybe ready for this and ready to accept the use of drones here in the U.S.?
Oh, I think there's going to be a big debate and quite a lot of confusion until things get sorted out. You're right, of course, in England and elsewhere, and even in the U.S., there are a fair number of video cameras surveilling public spaces, but this is much different. I mean, here we're talking about private spaces and private areas and uncontrolled access to large portions of the country if the FAA lets them fly at will. And what for me convinced me that this is really going to happen, the Airline Pilots Association, which represents the largest number of airline pilots in the U.S. for years, has basically strongly resisted this notion and this concept. It shouldn't happen. It's not going to happen, they said. We should wait many, many years before it happens. Now they've sort of twisted their position or changed their position, and now it's a question of how it can be done, not if it can be done. So there's no doubt that this is coming, but the speed and the focus of the efforts really still, if you want to make a bad pun, are still up in the air, because there's so many things that still need to be decided, regulatory basis and a legal basis.
Now, you write that by the fall, the Congress wants the FAA to integrate remotely piloted aircraft throughout U.S. airspace. I mean, are we talking about some kind of a continuous drone patrols in random locations across the country?
Well, by 2015, Congress wants a plan to integrate them into the airspace. I think you will see a lot more of them on the border. They're already being operated in clearly demarcated areas where there are no other aircraft flying, but you're going to see those broadened and expanded for sure. You're going to see many more police departments using them for high-speed chases, for identification, for drug trafficking purposes. And it's quite conceivable that even small cities will start using them for surveillance purposes.
It sounds like there are some potential negative aspects in terms of privacy, but on the whole, it's at least for law enforcement, it could be a huge help, would it not be?
That's true. Of course, it doesn't risk a pilot, and it's quiet, and it's very effective, and some of these drones can stay up for a very long time and hover at various altitudes. So, yes, it's a huge technological advance, but I think we should really keep in mind that this is unprecedented. This kind of surveillance effort over the U.S. really has never been tried before. Obviously, we've never had the technology before, so we shouldn't dismiss the legal and regulatory hurdles. There are going to be many fights, many lawsuits, many challenges before it's going to become commonplace in the U.S.
Are there any lawmakers that are pushing back against this plan, or on the whole, is Washington 100% behind it?
Oh, no, I think you have a split, and it's not a partisan split. It's sort of a split based on their views of privacy, particularly Congressman Ed Markey from Massachusetts has been pushing very hard to get the FAA to answer some questions about, well, how exactly will they be controlled? What kind of permits will you be allowing? What kind of privacy protections and public transparency requirements will there be? So that's why I say this is just the beginning of a big fight. By no means is Congress fully on board to widespread use of these drones.
Now, you do note in the article that there is kind of an opening job market now in the world of drones. I guess what operating them and making them, is that likely to be a booming business here?
That's right. There are dozens, many dozens of different models that are being produced of various sizes, and of course they all are, in fact, piloted by a pilot sitting somewhere on the ground. So this is a very fast-growing area. The Air Force, in fact, is now buying more of these remotely piloted vehicles, or unmanned aerial vehicles, as they call them, than they are fighter jets by far. They're buying many more of them. So this is a fast-growing area overseas, not just in the U.S., but big questions remain about how they can be used, how they should be used, and most of all, what kind of restrictions there will be to prevent essentially unwarranted intrusion into privacy matters.
Well, I mean, you could certainly see a future where these kinds of services become privatized, and then they could be used for any kind of personal investigation someone may want to pursue, right?
Well, I think that's one of the dangers. There's a lot of business pressure to use them to look at pipelines, to look at agriculture, to look at various things that have nothing to do with law enforcement and surveillance. But, of course, just like traffic lights that have been privatized and traffic light cameras where big companies are in charge of taking pictures of motorists running red lights in many big cities, the same kind of approach conceivably could be used with these drones.
Do you know how long some of these drones, not the ones that are up there in the stratosphere, but the ones that can come down fairly close, how long they can remain in operation without being recharged?
Well, it depends. It depends on the type and the model and the size, but certainly some of them can and will be able to stay aloft for many, many hours, maybe even for half a day, maybe even for longer, without having to refuel.
I see. Almost staying on constant monitor at whatever location they want to place them. Although I guess they'd be much more effective at night when no one can really see where they are.
Well, and also at high altitude, of course, there's less resistance, so they can stay out for much longer. And there are some experts who say that it's certainly likely that you'll see some of these drones stay up for a day or more, or maybe even for many days at high altitudes. But that's sort of much further down the road.
Well, if we're not paranoid enough, we're about to be much more so, it sounds like. Andy Pastor, he is a Wall Street Journal reporter. You can find his article on the future of drone use here in the U.S. at WSJ.com. Andy, thank you very much for joining us this evening.
My pleasure.
Coming up next, we're going to talk about the Beijing Auto Show. The 2012 show opens today in China, and it may seem like a story that's so far away, but it actually relates directly to us because that market is exploding. They're going to start building a lot more vehicles, including Cadillacs. They're going to copy the plant we have here in Lansing and build it out in Shanghai. We'll get all the details next. I'm Michael Cohen. This is 1320 WILS.